John Clark Jr. traces the start of his battle with opioid addiction back to when he was 23, and a coworker gave him $30 and a little blue pill as repayment for covering his shift at the group home where they worked. The pill was oxycodone. Soon, he began taking 1 to 2 pills a day, a rate that accelerated after a breakup with a long-term girlfriend. He switched to heroin when pills were too expensive to source.
Did you ever overdose?
I tried to. Towards the end, I kept trying because I hated myself. I hated my life. I hated waking up and stewing it all over again. I hated what I was doing. I hated stealing stuff. I hated panhandling. I hated losing all my jobs. I have a son, and I hated not being a good dad. And I hated myself, so I wanted to not wake up. I would get as much money as I could together and buy as much as I could and put it all in one shot every now and then when I hated myself at the worst times and just shoot up everything I had and pray that I could either not wake up or get some help. Something. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I had no idea where to go. It's upsetting because I was 27 at the time, 28, and I didn't have any insurance. I didn't know where to go. I mean, when I was ready to change and have insurance, I was tired of living the same thing every day. You know, I wake up, use, try to find money to go pick up, to use. It was all about picking up and getting my drug. Otherwise, I would be sick. When you're a drug user, you're like, you think nothing of yourself. That, okay, this is all my fault. I mean, I brought this all on myself. What's wrong with me? Why can't I stop? Why can everyone else live a good life and I can't? Why can't I stop using? I always believe that people just came up with, it's a disease for an excuse. And that's what a lot of people believe, that it's an excuse, it's a cop-out. I've always been somebody who, if I start something, I'm gonna finish it. If you want something bad enough, you can get it. All you have to do is work towards it. For using, for being an addict, it was like not like that at all. You know, I wanted to quit, but I needed help to do this. I needed to find help. I couldn't do it on my own.
Clark Jr. found it in a pilot project, part of Intermountain Healthcare's Opioid Community Collaborative, which funds projects in Weber and Davis counties that connect people with medication-assisted treatment, or MAT. The program provides access to medications like methadone or buprenorphine that lessen withdrawal symptoms and opioid cravings in combination with behavioral therapy to address the underlying issues of addiction. More than 300 people are enrolled in the pilot programs. And in October, Intermountain announced it would donate another $2 million in 2018 to continue these demonstration projects.
It was a clinic that I would go and get medically assisted treatment, so they would give me medicine to get me through.
Do you know what you were prescribed?
Methadone.
Methadone. Okay.
That's what I decided to take. And it was seriously the best decision I've made in my life. That was a redefining moment. That was the beginning of my life. While going to Weber Human Services and talking to all these people, my therapist and counselor and going to these classes and finding out skills that I can use to stay clean just reshaped the way I was. Everything combined just paved a way to be successful for me, to find my help, to be sober. You have people that encourage you and tell you that you're doing really good. You're doing good in life. You look healthy. You work 2 jobs. You go to school. You still do all this other stuff. And that's what I do now. That's what my life is. Like, I love being busy. I love waking up. I love having the day to do something. I love my life now. I'm happy to wake up.
Clark Jr. has been enrolled in the program for more than 8 months. This is common and expected in MAT programs. While there is some risk of abuse of maintenance medications, typically, studies have found that participants in long-term MAT programs have better outcomes than in short-term detox-only therapies, Research has also found that MAT outperforms behavioral therapies alone as well. Despite the recommendations in the Surgeon General's report on substance abuse for MAT programs, they remain underutilized across the country. And one of the major barriers to providing MAT to opioid-addicted individuals is stigma.
Jed Burton, clinical director. One thing I'd like to mention about those who need treatment or are seeking treatment, these are not folks that are bad people. These are folks who have an illness. You know, there may have been a choice at one point in their lives that they took that led them down this road, that many other people may have taken that same choice, but it didn't lead them down this road because of their physical makeup, their predisposition to this type of thing. But at this point, this is an illness, and we often compare it to diabetes. You know, when people take a pill for diabetes every day and they take it for years and years and years, nobody says anything. But if we provide somebody medication-assisted treatment and they can get a job and they can maintain a family, even though they're taking another medication, people are critical of that, critical of them starting that and critical of them being on that for long term. And this is a disease that is just as deadly and dangerous as many physical ailments.
In Utah, the bulk of MAT programs for individuals without health insurance exist along the Wasatch Front. But there is a shift happening. When Family Healthcare CEO Lori Wright brought forth the idea of expanding services to include MAT, for Sue Wilkie, a registered nurse and the quality director, it just felt right.
Like a no-brainer. We can do this thing, and we want to, because we recognize that a community health center is a safety net program. And it's really the last stop for many people. So we said, we should do this, we can do this. It feels late coming in because we all know so many people that have been affected by overdoses and the loss of relationship and function that opioids have presented. But then when we looked around, we were actually kind of early for the medication-assisted treatment process.
This summer, Family Healthcare in St. George became one of the first to start offering MAT in their community clinic. In August, the program had 9 participants. Wilkie says the organization is moving slowly to expand services to ensure they can scale up effectively.
So we've dealt with patients that are on opioids and other kinds of use disorders, but to pull it all together to actually put a program in that will help them withdraw and maintain that withdrawal is pretty complex because it includes our behavioral health, our medical providers being waivered and becoming comfortable with that process with their patients, and case management, care coordination. It takes a lot of work to do that well and to do it according to the current guidelines, the best dosing practices, the best alternative pain management practices, and social support as well.
Implementing the MAT program also requires that patients are actively involved in their recovery, because MAT isn't a matter of showing up and getting fixed. It's a long-term process. David Zolman and Ari Mendez provide the behavioral health counseling portion of the MAT program. They say the program offers low-cost treatment to individuals with opioid abuse disorders, but most importantly, it offers hope.
I'm David Zolman, behavioral health consultant with Family Healthcare. You know, some of those first appointments are the most meaningful because they realize they're at that point where they need help. They've gone through this addiction cycle over and over and over again with very little success. And then they come here saying, hey, this is kind of what I'm going through. And we can offer them those resources where they are sometimes at rock bottom, where they don't know what else to do. But it's so great to give them that hope of, you know what, we have this MAT program, which can definitely give the lasting results that so many people going through that opioid use disorder are going through. It's never too late to start. I mean, if anybody that's listening is going through this type of issue, who do I call, what do I do? Family Healthcare, we are one of those agencies that's more than happy to help. And the more you listen, the more you think about the life that you're living, realizing, okay, maybe I do need help. Our arms are wide open. We're happy to help anyone that walks into our doors.
With Utah Public Radio, I'm Kristen Munson.
This UPR original series is brought to you in part by the Association for Utah Community Health, providing training and technical assistance to health centers and affiliates across Utah. More information available online at auch.org.